Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis. Hey, and welcome back to the Forward Marketing Podcast. I am your host, Joshua Jarvis, and I am super excited, as always, for this podcast. And so if you've been listening with us during this sort of summer of growth hacking, last week we covered the 17 different tactics and tips for how to maximize landing pages. And I don't have a sponsor or anything for the show. I don't have commercials on this show. But one of the things I've done with all my web design clients and even my WordPress SEO clients has been to switch them over to using something called Thrive Themes. And I love things like ClickFunnels and Optimizely and things like that that just really focus on landing pages. But sometimes clients want a website, and sometimes they want a website that can generate traffic through SEO efforts. And Thrive Themes, it's just been such a pleasure to work with that, they didn't pay me to say anything. I am an affiliate, and I'm going to give you a link so you can get the landing page sort of basics. But it's just been one of those things where I've used Beaver Builder and sites using Visual Composer and all these other ones, and Thrive has the easiest thing to use when it comes to building out pages, as well as it's designed for conversion. And when you're a digital marketer, conversion is kind of the name of the game, and it's the most important thing. So I've built real estate websites with it, built insurance websites with it, and it's just pretty amazing. So if you enjoyed last week's episode about landing pages and you also want to learn more about Thrive Themes, I've set up an affiliate link, so I do get paid if you decide to move forward with Thrive Themes, and I would love it if you did, because again, they're not paying for this commercial. I set up a link. It's at forward4rd.us/TLP. So forward.us/TLP, and that's Thrive Landing Pages. And it's basically a landing page guide that takes you from start to finish on how to design a great landing page. So if last week's episode was interesting, but you didn't know, I don't know where to start, this walks you through it. And it's a great resource. It's one that I had starred previously when I had found it, and I just think it's awesome. So that's why I'm sharing it with you. So I appreciate you sort of bearing with me through this commercial, but it's probably one of the few times I'll do it. But it is something, again, I've decided to be an affiliate for Thrive Themes because I really believe in it. And I've tried every other builder out there. I used to do Divi, use Divi from Elegant Themes for a long time, and just hated how slow it was. And Thrive Themes is fast. And so, and again, that URL is 4rd.us/TLP. So 4rd.us/TLP. I'll put something in the show notes. If you want to contribute to the site, then great. That'd be awesome. But without further ado, you probably are waiting for what is this episode actually about? And depending on how you, if you clicked on the title or whatever, then you'd already know, but it's the 6 keys to how Instagram works. So we talked about Instagram, the keys to an Instagram strategy before, but really never got into sort of how does it work. And so wanted to kind of talk about how it works, because I think if you understand how Instagram actually works, you can sort of use it to help you in the future with the type of content that you do, the type of how often that you might post content, if you're wanting to use that channel. And if you're not wanting to use that channel, why not? I mean, there's a lot of people on there. I think there's more engagement than Facebook on Instagram at this point. And so yeah, you should be on there. So anyway, without further ado, let's get the episode started. I wish I had some music. I got some music for the end to my rambling to the beginning of the episode. But so Instagram uses machine learning based on your behavior to create your unique feed. So in theory, it could be that basically no two people have the same feed, because what they came out and said was, and I forget, TechCrunch did this sort of interview with them, and basically when you interact with a photo, the level of interaction tells them that that's what you want to see. So, you know, you kind of, if you go on someone's page and you hit the magnifying glass, for instance, and you see the search options there, it's based on your relationships that you have. It's based on how you interact with those photos. So if you tend to, like, for instance, I think in one of the episodes I said, my Facebook, my Instagram feed is full of booties and chests. And now I know why. It wasn't because I was clicking on and interacting with photos of, you know, scantily clad women. What was happening was, is I was looking at fitness stuff. And one of the first people I had followed was a guy, I think his name is Stephen Weatherford or something. I had seen him on Fox, and he's like a former punter for the NFL and just had this fitness program. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. So I was interacting with a lot of these fitness photos, which incidentally is also what a lot of these sort of booty models, I'll call them, do. So they do these squats and that sort of things on these fitness pages. So apparently I was interacting with a lot of that, and it messed up my feed. So, you know, so I took a step away from it. Total side note, rambling here, but took a step away from it because I just was like, oh, this is probably not good for me to be scrolling through this all day. So, when I got a new phone recently, the feed is definitely back to sort of a normal, like, it clears. So I think it's that, I assume that this thing is sort of stored somehow on your phone, because my new feed doesn't have any of the women on it. So anyway, the whole point is that it knows how you interact. And so there's different levels of interaction. There's, you know, clicking on the photo, there's loving the photo, there's commenting on the photo. And so as you see, there's definitely deeper interest in there. So, but how does it rank your posts? All right. So, what they came out and said is, like, people that you follow, if you scroll through your feed, you'll actually see all of their posts. So that it doesn't hide anything. So it's important to note that no matter what you post, that it's not hidden. The thing is that, and I'm going to get to these six criteria that they say basically is important. It shows how you rank in the sort of search feed, as well as how you rank in people's feed when they're following you. But basically, it all comes down to, like, how they're interacting with those with your photos and all of that. So the first one is interest, like we just talked about. So interest is the number one thing that the machine looks at. So how much interest are you having in this photo? And, like, so there's different aspects of the photo and how you might interact with it. Did you bookmark it? Did you love it? Did you comment on it? Is this someone that you know and you've commented on before? And so it looks at that relationship. How deep is that relationship? Because it assumes that if you're very interested in the person, then you'll want more of that content. The second thing is because we've already talked about interest for some time, is recency. So how recent is the post? So if you're posting five posts a day, depends on your level of engagement around what you're posting. This determines whether it's on there or not. So if let's say I took a video of the of some fireworks during 4th of July, and, you know, the level of engagement went up, we'll say. I mean, that would be the theory. I'm not leveraging Instagram, kind of the kids have no shoes, so to speak, situation with me with Instagram, but the in theory, the level of engagement should go up because I've been away for a while, and so Instagram would think that most people would want to see that post. Whereas if I post a bunch in a day, it kind of depends on the level of engagement around those photos. Sometimes that could be better, meaning that recency will trump anything else, and in other cases, recency will hurt you. So you get interest, you get recency. The other thing is relationship. So how close are you really? And keep in mind that Instagram knows whether you're friends on Facebook or not. So, you know, are you following them? Are they following you? Are you commenting on each other? Are you guys in close proximity? There's a bunch of sort of relative words around the idea of relationship. So It uses interest, like how much you're interested in it. It uses recency, like when did you post. And it uses relationship, but it also uses frequency. So how often the people are looking at their phones. So if they're looking at it once a week, then they're only going to see the most popular post first. And if they are visiting every 5 minutes, then they're the ones that are going to benefit. You know, those are the ones that are going to see the posts that you're making if you did a bunch of posts in a single day. And how you might use this is your most engaged fans. You may produce more content and see, does this grow? Is this growing my sales? Is this growing my followers or not? And, you know, run some tests on that. So 1 month, maybe do 2 posts a day. Other months, do 1 post a day and so on. And then the final one is actually follows you. So who do you follow? So like if you're who the person is following. So are they following a bunch of people like you? Because they're going to show similar things. And this basically goes back to the point I was making at the very beginning is that if you're the way Instagram works is that the way that the users interact with the photos, it tries to show more photos because it's trying to increase your time on the app. So Instagram's goal is to keep you on that app for as long as possible. So for instance, one of the I've got some myths for you. I've got 4 or 5 different myths that, you know, sort of that people think about Instagram. And one of those is the video thing. Like, well, why am I seeing more videos and video content is ruling? No. You're interacting with videos more often. They don't actually put a priority on it. So that's one of the myths. So spoiler alert. So we talked about interest, recency, relationship, frequency, meaning how often do you post? I mean, how often do they visit? Recency being how often do you post and how new is the content? And then following, you know, who do you follow? So it's going to show you something similar. And then usage, how long you spend looking at Instagram. And so those are the 6 factors they use to sort of use their ranking thing. And so how you might manipulate that or how you might use that is, like I said, let it control how often you post. Let it control what you post. Now that you know those things, pay attention to the ones that get the most comments, the most interactions. You should be doing this on all of social media anyway. But in this case, they're basically coming out and telling you how to rank for that. And so some of the myths that they came out with and said or was sort of debunked in this interview was that nothing is hidden. So a lot of people think that Instagram will hide things, particularly if you stuff hashtags. You've probably seen that on posts or some of these sort of automated or you'll see these posts where there's like 8 or 9 posts, and you can tell, like, if you've been seeing it for a while, that the only purpose of that is to grow followers for people. So sort of fake bot type accounts, and they don't hide it. They, you know, if you're interacting with it, then it's good. If you're not, then it's just not going to get seen. So they sort of let the machine decide. The other myth that came out was what I mentioned already, that the feeds don't favor videos, but the research shows that people do. So the videos aren't the thing that is being pushed on you. You are interacting with the videos. If you're seeing more videos, it's because you're interacting with videos. If you're not seeing more videos, it's because you're not interacting with the videos. So the other myth was there's no downrank for overposting. It only metrics of engagement. So basically what that myth is saying is that, or that myth buster is saying that there's no downrank. So if you posted 100 posts a day, you're not going to get flagged or anything. It's just that it's the level of engagement around your posts that matter to Facebook. So I feel like I've been repeating myself, but I think this is really important for anybody that's using Instagram. And then Instagram doesn't do anything special for businesses. It's really a lot like Pinterest. So if you have a business account on Instagram, they're not going to sort of sandbox you, if you will, kind of like Facebook does. They treat the account the same, basically. So there's really no reason not to have a business account versus a personal account. You may want to get both so that in the future, if they do sort of sandbox the businesses, then you'll already be ahead of the game. So that'll be good. But if you like Instagram, if you're using this, or if maybe this is the first time you're listening, we did an episode that was about Instagram before, we kind of walked through how to really maximize your posts and how to actually get the engagement around the posts that would have caused you to rank better in Instagram. And so go ahead and listen to that. I'll put that in the show notes for you. Like I said, when I read this, I just wanted to share it with you, these six different things that they use to rank, as well as these different myths that were kind of busted, tell me that if there's no sort of filter, if there's no penalties on this thing, then you could sort of, I mean, it's already being abused, but you could sort of create a strategy around that to make sure that you rank. So again, you want to do posts that engage with a lot of people, but it also means that these services that are out there that increase your followers, for instance, that if those, you know, how active are those followers? If those followers are really active, so if you're paying for a service that creates a lot of followers, I'm just trying to walk you through some of these implications here. Let's say I pay a service that creates followers, and those followers are in my audience, and they interact with my posts, then that means that my audience is more likely to see my posts. Whereas if I pay for an audience, let's say I go to Fiverr, for instance, and I'm paying for an audience and it's largely made up of people, say, in India or robots, but they don't interact with my post. It's just sort of a blanket. I'm either going to not rank at all, and so it's not going to have much of an effect at all, or I'm going to be more likely to be seen by bots and more likely to be seen by people in India than I am my own people that I'm targeting, maybe in the States, for example. So that's just one small thing to think about as you're sort of marketing on Instagram. But I know several companies that are leveraging Instagram to make to drive their sales. In one instance, there's a local business here in Alpharetta, and I'm in Atlanta, so it's a suburb north of me. And she took her artwork and put it on yoga pants and made a business out of that. And so she was, you know, featuring her art in local sort of art galleries, if you will, but wasn't, you know, national name or anything like that. But she's making more money from just sort of cool designed activewear than she was selling her artwork. And that's pretty amazing, and it's all from Instagram. She didn't even have a website when we talked. So that's Instagram went straight to like I forget what she was using. I think it was Etsy or something like that. And it's just kind of crazy to see just this, like, how powerful Instagram is and how overlooked it is by businesses. So anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed sort of a quick episode talking about the sort of six keys of how Instagram works, as well as those four myths that was debunked during this interview. I really enjoyed reading this thing because it actually just gave me some insight into that. I guess I sort of nerded out on it. So, but the next few episodes I've got planned, again, all talking about different platforms to grow. I've got one episode laid out for you called the 11 Essential Places to Share Your Content. I'm going to talk about the steps, which is in a kind of an acrostic or an acronym, if you will, that talks about how to create great content from a book, and some other things lined up for you in the coming weeks. So stay tuned. If you're not an Instagram lover, if you're not an Instagram user, and you don't think it's worth anything, and you're like, man, it just wasted, you know, 18, 20 minutes of my life, well, then stay tuned. Hopefully I will be covering it. And if my episodes don't cover what you want and you feel like your time is wasted, then you have no one to blame but yourself, because every episode I tell you, you can email me at joshua@forwardmarketing.com. That's joshua@4rdmarketing.com. And so you can email me there. You can pretty much Google Forward Marketing and find me now. You can Google Joshua Jarvis and find me. It's pretty easy to connect with me online. So yes, make your requests. What should I cover? What tips and tactics should I cover for you? What's your biggest questions around internet marketing? What are your leadership questions? What guests do you think I should have on the show? Anything and everything's open for right now. So in any case, I will leave you to your summer, but I will be getting back with you next week on another episode of Forward Marketing.